But we've had quite a bit of activity here. You know, we've had these smoking, if you will, letters that are very dangerous. You know, those postal employees, some of them died years ago with the anthrax thing. So this is not a joke. You've had the two very suspicious auto fires in the D.C. area, one near the DISA just today, and then one the day before where a woman was killed on Capitol Hill. Her husband works at the White House. Coincidence, possibly, but people are nervous, understandably.
Yeah, a lot of activity around.
Well, and you know, something we don't, you know, we're in the media and we think we know things, but we don't know what's going on in most offices. And just about any federal worker you talk to over the course of a couple of years, there has been an incident in their office. Now, it may be a crazy ex-spouse of one of the employees. Yeah. It may be a disgruntled taxpayer. And Joe Davidson today in the Post had a good rundown of some of the more recent events. The guy that crashed the private plane in the IRS building in Austin, Texas. I mentioned in the column today about what I found very interesting is the and sad the Capitol Hill sometime back. Minority Leader Tom DeLay and Dennis Hastert and others, two Capitol Hill police officers died in the line of duty protecting their office from a man with a gun. Yeah. And 2 years later, one of the people who was saved in that incident was referring to federal agents as jackbooted thugs. So the worm turns around here. But yeah, I think people are understandably very concerned for their safety and the safety of loved ones, particularly if you're a Fed.
And we asked, the Dorbeck Insider poll is up and running, and we've asked folks, do you feel safe at your job? And most people, 28% said yes all the time, another 43%, so that's what, 40, 50, 60, almost 70% say most of the time that they feel safe. So it's not a huge issue, but I know it's something that, you know, we've seen Oklahoma City, for goodness sakes. It's something that sits in the back of your head.
Well, and there some places are very well protected. Defense Department, well protected.
But even then, we saw those weird shootings at the Pentagon.
That's right.
I mean,
That's right. And you know, yeah, the people who were target practicing around the Pentagon. But, you know, you have outposts, Social Security offices and IRS offices where people deal directly with the public. And many of them are in commercial buildings with minimal security, and understandably they're nervous,
and they're you're dealing with Social Security, you're dealing with the public the time,
so
it can't, you know, you never know. I mean, this guy is
in the IRS, this is nothing new for them,
the IG folks saying, you know, hold on, security, one of the biggest concerns, management concerns for IRS, it can be really scary. On top of that, Fed's also getting their having a pay freeze, under a pay freeze now, and I was reading Mac's Partnership for Public Service coming
Mac
out.
Mac Steyer,
Steyer coming out and saying, this is terrible, this undermines the initiative to make government cool again. I was reading it, and I know this is no one likes their pay frozen, but it seemed to me to be out of context a little bit that my conversations with feds, most feds say, I'm happy to contribute if it's part of overall deficit. We get the problems that we have. We just don't want to carry it all on our backs.
To the extent that I'm hearing anything, that's what I'm hearing from people is many of them have friends in the private sector who lost their jobs, taken substantial pay cuts. They can read the paper about what's happening in New York State and Illinois and California, you know, where state workers are
furloughs and all sorts
big problems.
Right?
And, I think you're right. They just want to know that it makes a difference. And obviously they resent being singled out as punished as, for doing something wrong. We're going to talk about tomorrow on the radio show on your turn.
Yep.
I'm having a group from Federal Times come in, and we're going to make a regular thing out of this. But these are experts. These people are on the ground. They cover the Pentagon, and they're all over the city. And one thing that interests me is the pay freeze is for 2 years, but 2012 is an election year.
Right.
And it would not surprise me, the pay freeze surprised me, but it would not surprise me now that it's happened if they didn't extend it.
Yeah,
vote in 2012 before the November elections to extend it another year. Just sock it to the feds.
And I think that's the big concern of everyone is, hold on, why are we being scapegoated?
Yeah.
And as we're just talking about, some of these jobs are very dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so tomorrow you're going to have a panel of experts. You're going to cover pay freeze, I'm sure.
That's right. Talk about the pay freeze. Talk about the 10% cut. The Federal Times has a story this week which says that Postal Service is going to be offering buyouts and RIFs, reductions in force, because they're cash strapped and they're trying to get rid of people. And there's just all manner of things happening. And I think the one thing that concerns federal workers, if I could say the thing that concerns them most, is one that we sometimes forget about because the others are more dramatic, and that's changing the retirement formula. People would have to work, and maybe pay more for their reduced benefits. People are very concerned about this. They want to know if it's likely to happen, if so, when it's likely to happen, and when it happens, will they have time to get out under the more generous high three formula as opposed to high five? And, you know, 2 years ago, I just said, don't waste your breath worrying about this. Now I say, you know, fasten your seatbelts.
Well, and we've been talking about seemingly endlessly a lot of attention of the workforce tsunami, and I'm doing air quotes, which works so well on radio. Talk about something that could really spur a lot of folks saying, okay, this is my time to change.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, this cuts both ways. I would say the emails that I've been getting on the subject, when I'm kind of soliciting, I'm saying, what do you think? Are you going to, is it fight or flight? Are you going to bolt or stay put, bolt or burrow? And it's about evenly divided, but some people say, you know, if the economy's still bad and they're going to freeze our pay and all that kind of thing, I'm sticking. I'm going to be carried out of here.
Yeah.
While others say, I've had enough, I'm disappointed, I feel like it's a breach of contract. But it may not stir the retirement tsunami that has been predicted since 1999 and still hasn't happened. This may not do it.
Well, and on top of that, the cover of The Economist this week has a whole, their cover story is all about public workers unions and a lot of attention being given to, hold on, I mean, even some states talking about making public employee unions illegal and not allowing them.
Yeah. Well, the discourse over this, and you touched on it last week about the situation, this tiny California town where these people were paying themselves, the city officials, $300,000 a
year. They were not union personnel,
exactly.
We might note.
but there is a lot of talk now about the role of unions in public employment, and one of the arguments against them is that in the private sector, an employer has kind of has a duty to the taxpayers to give as small a raise as possible, to stretch retirement benefits out, to fight tooth and nail over holidays. In the public sector, according to this argument, it's not that person's money. It's not company money.
Right.
It's public money. It's taxpayer money. So to get the support of the public employee union or the teachers union, which is, we know, very powerful in this area, you say, okay, what do you want? We'll give it to you. It's we're printing the money. Take this.
Right.
And the argument is you're mortgaging your future down the road.